going out to location is really what we want to enable people to do, so that anyone can go out on a, even a tricky location like a conference floor with thousands of people in it. Mm-hmm. With our equipment, a five-year-old could go to a place like that and make a really good-sounding podcast.
Welcome to Tech Talks, hosted by myself, David Savage, and powered by Nash Squared. On today's show, I am joined by Ruben. He is one of the team at Nemono, a company that makes spatial audio recording devices. So we're basically asking, are they revolutionising audio? Anyway, before that, I am joined by Amber Harrison. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, really good. Thanks, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, all right. All right. Quick question. I saw a piece of news yesterday suggesting that if something was generated by AI, we should have tools that can query it and basically flag up, basically like a detection test for if something is AI written, generated. And I think where you've got schools and you've got education and you're trying to ward against plagiarism or just stealing of IP, that's a really good idea, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Here's my question, though. Should the same thing apply to business text? So there's a tool out there called GPT-0, right? It analyzes AI-generated text. And I kind of feel like even in a business context, anything that's generated by AI should be flagged, should have some kind of stamp that says this was AI-generated, this wasn't written by the person who's posting it. I know that people can go in and they can edit it. If we're relying on a tool to write something for us, we're not really being curious and inquisitive and forming our own opinions and learning in quite the way that we should, perhaps. Or am I being really crazy in saying that?
No, because I think you and I have had this conversation a couple of times before about how, yeah, it removes that element of, curiosity and learning and just sort of, you know, self-development as well. Because if you've got, you know, AI to sort of to do these things for you, then we're just producing like a generation of lazy people who are quite happy to rely on technology to do everything for them.
A generation of lazy people. I don't know whether we should really frame, but I do kind of feel the same.
Yeah, I know. don't get me wrong. Like, I use it from time to time, and I think it's, you know, I'm not sort of slamming it in any way, because it has its real benefits.
Oh,
absolutely. No, absolutely. And I think you and I completely both agree with that. But I don't think it's a ludicrous idea. I think, like you say, to have that sort of stamp just to bring people back to reality a little bit and say, like, this is not real. This is, or, you know, or this has been, you know, AI has been involved in this and putting this together, whatever that may be. I don't think it's a crazy idea, Dave, to be honest. And I think over time, as more governance and more, sort of regulation comes into that industry, then I think that could be a really sort of likely way of sort of stamping out a lot of the plagiarism and like the, yeah, just like the abuse of it as well.
So a question for our listeners then, ChatGPT-0 and the like, are these tools something that you think we should be applying to all text, business text? And do you think they can actually do the job? Do you think they're up to the task? I'd love to know what people think about this, because lots of people are increasingly using, you know, Copilot and so on, and they are useful tools. But where should we draw the lines and say, nah, actually, we should know when this is generated by AI or not? Anyway, I mentioned that today's guest is Ruben. We're going to be talking about revolutionising audio, how basically Nemono is making spatial audio accessible to all. If you don't know what spatial audio is, don't worry, you're about to find out. Myself and Amber will be back afterwards. So today I'm joined by Ruben. You are QA at Nemono, and you're a sound design mixer and recordist if you look at your LinkedIn, and I think that will become apparent why that's important in a moment. I'm not going to pronounce your surname, because I will make a horrible hash of it. How should it be pronounced?
O-ang. Yeah.
Okay.
But when I was living in Houston, the teachers would call me Wang. So
really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like just Ruben. Borderline lazy and offensive.
Yeah. Ruben Wang.
So you're joining us from Norway?
Norway. Trondheim, Norway. Yes.
I know Trondheim in as much as It's a name I'm familiar with, but if you ask me to point it on a map, I think I would fail abysmally.
It was also the Viking capital for many years back in, you know, the medieval times.
Bit of history. Yep. Very good. Well, look, tell us a bit about Nimona. Why are we talking to you today? What do you do?
Okay, so Nimona wanted to, first of all, make spatial audio more accessible to common people. I mean, today spatial audio productions are very hard to do. Mm-hmm. Requires a lot of know-how, and we wanted to lower that threshold so that anyone can go out and make a spatial audio production.
People might be listening, asking themselves, what is spatial audio? Can we just quickly kind of unpack that so people know what we're on about?
Yeah, okay. So one of the really simple ways to explain it is if you have two speakers, which is sort of the usual stereo setup that you have at your house, that's 1D because you only have one dimension, left and right, right? So you have one dimension. Then if you have a surround setup, you also have speakers behind you. That means you have two dimensions, so that's 2D audio. But when you add speakers in the ceiling and speakers below you, all of a sudden you have three dimensions, so that's 3D audio. So aka spatial audio, immersive audio, and so on. There's a lot of different terms being thrown around to explain spatial audio, which is kind of the word I'm used to using, but 3D audio, immersive audio is also the same thing. So Dolby Atmos, for example, that is one example of immersive audio. There's no speakers below you in a movie theater, but on headphones, you can have spatial audio mixes. In that case, it will be binaural, which is also a term you've probably heard before.
Yep.
And then there's a bunch of other formats and ambisonics and...
So you can record in that, but one very quick, perhaps dumb question. Surely you need quite good headphones at the same time to be able to experience it.
Not really. Like, once everything has been decoded down to binaural, it's all about isolation, I guess. So, yeah, open back headphones like these ones are pretty good. But also earbuds, where you really get the audio right into your ears. If you have noise reduction or noise cancelling too, that's, basically you can use any headphones to experience binaural audio, but the better the headset, the better the experience, I guess.
Now, you are enabling anybody to be able to create spatial audio recordings.
Yeah.
To date, my reference points for the need for spatial audio is either gaming or VR, and typically VR because it's gaming. It's like a big thing in gaming. If you're doing like a game, you want to have this idea that there are people all around you and you can, it's far more immersive.
Yeah.
But this isn't just for gaming, right? This, you've got other user cases where you think people can kind of really benefit from it.
Yeah, so we've been targeting podcasters to start off because we see that podcasters... tend to be people usually without audio expertise. And that kind of puts a lot of limitations on how they produce their podcasts. Mm-hmm. And that's why most podcasts you can hear today are like studio setups or setups like this one, where it's through a Zoom call or Squadcast to Riverside, these kind of things. But if you want to go out on a location and make a podcast like We Are Makers are doing, it really heightens the threshold for, competence in audio.
Yeah. I will freely admit that I choose to do remote recordings over Squadcast over in-person recordings because it is a better audio setup for me at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of it. Like, it's easy and you can do it from anywhere. But going out to location is really what we want to enable people to do, so that anyone can go out on even a tricky location like a conference floor with thousands of people in it. Mm-hmm. Like we met you at CES.
Yep.
We made a bunch of podcasts in there with thousands of people, really high noise floor, But with our equipment, a five-year-old could go to a place like that and make a really good-sounding podcast, because all you have to do is press one button and you're recording. There's no levels to set. There's no frequencies to make sure that your wireless are operating problem-free. There's no menu diving and frame rates or anything like that to worry about. All you have to do is press the red button and you're recording. And you're recording spatial audio. And then after the fact, of course, when you hit stop on your recording, it uploads into a cloud solution where the audio is cleaned up. So the noise floor is taken down quite dramatically. So it's basically like an AI audio engineer in the cloud that mixes and masters your recording for you, optimizes it, basically.
Yeah. And if someone was to go back to the 12th of January on our playlist, not back catalogue, there's an episode called How Can You Build a Brand That Cuts Through the Noise, where we interviewed Eric Stuck. But the second part of that show, we actually interviewed Kinsey Fabrizio, and that was recorded on the floor of CES. And yeah. I will be perfectly honest with you, you couldn't hear the audio, but it's not great. Why is it so hard to get good audio? And look, I was using microphones that cost a few hundred dollars on that occasion. Why is it so hard to do it and get a good recording?
Well, first of all, it's microphone choices are a big part of this. I'm assuming you probably were using either the Go2 or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so those are omnidirectional. So they record everything around you.
Yeah.
In a place like that, if you wanted to use conventional equipment, you would probably want to use something like a dynamic microphone that you can hold really close to your mouth, like a reporter microphone. That way you get isolation that way. The voice that you're recording is really close to the microphone, and ergo much louder than the noises around you. Or you could use a shotgun microphone, which uses noise canceling technology, basically, to sort of focus where you point the microphone at and cancel out or at least turn down everything else. So that's one aspect of it. And then, of course, there's the post-production of the recording. You can use plugins and EQs and that sort of thing, though, to massage the audio to make it sound better. But, you know, if the noise floor is louder than the dialogue you recorded, it's pretty much nothing you can do with it, except put it into the Nomono cloud and have our AI audio engineer take care of it for you.
And how does that work? I mean, we hear AI thrown around all the time at the moment. Everyone's got AI. What does AI specifically do to that audio? Because, you know, you talk about EQs there. I use an EQ to, you know, take out some aspects of the human voice that we don't really listen to and tune up other bits that do to make it a more comfortable listening experience. And then, you know, you can put something through a noise reducer if you've got background noise, but do it too much and you end up with something that sounds quite robotic.
Yeah. Yeah, so the way we do it is we have machine learning algorithms that have been trained on thousands and thousands of hours of audio of different voices and different environments with different background noises and this sort of thing. Clothing noise, you know, AC, ocean waves, whatever you can think of. We have training sets for it in our machine learning algorithms. And, you know, even the guy who developed our denoiser don't really know how it's doing it. But what it's doing is basically surgically separating the voices from the noise. And it's using just a bunch of, input from all of this training to be able to do that. So obviously there will be some overlapping frequencies. And those are the kind of, that's how you get artifacts from conventional plugins. Like if you use Isotope RX, for example, which is like a the go-to in the business. You can't really push it that hard because once you start dampening the noise floor by like 7 or 8 dB, you can hear those overlapping frequencies start to crumble a little bit and you get what we call artifacts. But with AI, it's like We just tell it the difference between noise and voice, and then it does its magic, and we can't really know how it's doing it.
I think at this point in the conversation, it would be really good if we hear two examples. One played without, and one played with your technology at work, in the same environment, with the same people talking, so we can hear the difference. And I know that you have two recordings from the floor at CES, which was very low ceiling, very noisy environment, and a nightmare for a podcaster if they're trying to record something. So we will insert those at this point of the conversation.
We're at CES Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas.
How do you feel being in Las Vegas?
Just coming down from the jet lag.
Yeah.
But it feels good today.
We've been traveling all the way from Norway to showcase the Nomono Sound Capsule and the Cloud.
Yeah.
And we're super excited. There's going to be like 135,000 people joining here today.
Yeah. Hope we brought enough chocolate.
Yeah, I hope so too. We definitely brought the audio quality.
Look, people could obviously hear the difference there between the recording. It's super impressive. I saw it. And it's one of those things that, listen, I was very lucky that I stumbled across your stand in the Eureka Park Village at CES. So I saw you demonstrate this firsthand. So it's not just a well-done edit for the purposes of this podcast to tell people, oh, look, it's really good. And actually they get it out of the box and it doesn't work quite as well. I've seen it. How costly is this? Because that's pretty pretty impressive. You would imagine it's going to come with a fairly hefty price tag.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how you look at it. Some people react to the price because they're like, but you can just buy two sets of Video to Go 2 and then you're covered. And that's like much cheaper. But that's when the spatial aspect audio comes in. Because if you want to buy a first order Ambisonics microphone like we have in our kit, it costs about £1,500. Just for the microphone. And then you also need four wireless. You also need a recorder with at least four preamps for the Ambisonics microphone. And all of a sudden, you're in the £3,000 area. So what's the our price is £2,500, £2,500, roughly. And then you have four wireless. You have the Ambisonics microphone that kind of records the ambiences of your location. And the spot mics for the dialogue. And then the dialogue mics are cleaned up so that you get control over the ambience relative to the dialogue, which is the beauty of it. That's like every dialogue editor's dream, to just be able to record the room tone and the dialogue in the same recording and then have that flexibility and that control after the fact.
Who are you marketing this at then? Look, I am a podcaster who's been going for 9 years, but it's still, you know, still you've got to have financial considerations about what kit's worth buying, and there's a lot of stuff that you can kind of purchase out there. So there's always an element of kind of, you know, what's good expenditure and what's really going to kind of increase my audience and my engagement versus, you know, costs, etc., whatever. Who are you trying to target that? Is it someone like me? Is it someone who perhaps works for the BBC? You know, what do you think your market is?
Well, a lot of the units that we've sold so far has been to brands, actually. Mm-hmm. So Liverpool Football Club has one. Google bought one. Red Bull got one. And so these sort of huge brands. But we also see minor like media houses or media production companies buying these. There's a bunch of... them in UK that has one, but also independent podcasters like We Are Makers up in Scotland that buy these. So you easily earn that money back in terms of setup time, for example. So if We Are Makers wanted to go to one of these makers workshop and set up all the equipment, that's easily an hour of setup time. And just to set up, now they can do it in 15 seconds and they're good to go. And it really allows people to expand how they make podcasts. You know, instead of being in the studio, you can go out into the world and meet your guests where they feel comfortable. And that also allows you to think of things to talk about that you wouldn't think about if you had them in your studio, because you're out there in their workshop or whatever, and you can point to things and ask about it. And it really opens up and gives you a much more a natural conversation, I guess.
I mean, look, without wanting to sound like I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, I can certainly see a case that I travel quite a lot with a podcast. If you wanted to do a community recording, but you're in Las Vegas, New York, Toronto, Rio, these places might not offer you the perfect recording environment, but you might say, wouldn't it be cool if we could invite some people to a bar for a recording and do it very much in that kind of community-focused way? And if you had speakers that, microphones that enabled that, that's a big boom.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but We Are Makers are one of our sort of, we collaborate with them a little bit in terms of marketing and stuff like that. And I mean, they went on an American tour and they recorded 36 one-hour episodes roughly in 35 days.
Yeah.
So that's like, and they didn't even charge the unit. Once, because the battery life on it is also quite expansive. So that's what it allowed them to do. Go to America, record 35 episodes in 36 days without charging it even.
You're saying without charging it. I've seen it, but it's kind of like a box. You unbox it, there's a little unit, that sits in the middle, and then you've got wireless clip-on mics, right? What's the range on those? Say you wanted to do something slightly mad, like you wanted to record a podcast whilst you were running.
Yeah.
How close do you have to be to the box?
Well, to be in the range of it so that it's transferring the audio in real time to the sort of main unit, you'd have to be within 20 yards from it.
So stick it in a backpack and maybe you could do a podcast whilst running.
Yeah, but the beauty of it is that it's all the little spot mics also have internal memory. So you could actually walk out of range for almost an hour and it will just record internally on the spot mics. And then when you come back into range, it will start transferring again.
Yeah.
Amazing. So it has like a buffer in the spot mics for about an hour. So you could actually leave the main unit over here, go for a run for 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and then come back and you would still have your whole recording.
Well, look, I for one, am impressed by this product. I know that we speak to a lot of other podcasters, but equally, as you said there, brands are buying this. You know, any opportunity to up their game with regards to content and to record engaging pieces that people really kind of want to listen to and sound good for a reasonably affordable price is interesting, I think, to brands at the minute. So that's why we're keen to get you on the show. Thank you for spending some time talking through it. Just as a final piece, if someone was interested in the product, best way to find out more?
Nomono.co.
And that's spelt?
Nomono.co. Yeah. Nomono. So it's like spatial, not mono.
Ah, there we go. You know what? I should have probably asked that near the top of the interview. There we go. Ruben, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Out of interest, Amber, when you're listening to a podcast, how important is the audio quality to you?
Do you know what? My answer on this has changed recently. So it never used to be. Used to really... Well, you just sort of listened to the main sort of speakers and... I don't know. I'm not sort of super techie, and those sorts of things would never really have. I wouldn't have been sort of too fussed about them. But ever so recently, I can't remember what it was now actually, but I was listening to a podcast, and the sound quality was so poor. It was a bit crackly at times. It just sounded like they were sort of like sat in a washing machine or something. I don't know. Like, that's the best way I can describe it. It was, it was not great, and it was so distracting. Like from the conversation, like the conversation that they actually were having was really interesting, but I found myself just being really annoyed for like 90% of it, because I was like, oh, what is that noise? And you know, they just sounded really faint and, like I say, quite crackly as well. So yeah, it didn't used to be, but then I've had a bad experience recently that's actually made me a little bit more aware of those sorts of things.
And I can get how that would be frustrating if you're really into the conversation, but it's distracting. I mean, it's this thing, like, I've always thought of podcasting as being almost like, you know, accessible radio content creation. It's great because it's a great kind of democratizing platform, effectively, or channel. And I don't think that audio is the most important thing in the world. But where you've got something like Nomono and they are able to give people the opportunity to make really good audio with a piece of kit. It's not the cheapest kit in the world, admittedly, but it is affordable and it is something that you can use and is portable and you don't need lots of technical experience and expertise to use. That's a good thing. But it's all about finding incremental improvements. Anyway, thinking about podcasts and thinking about stuff that we like, I put a post on LinkedIn earlier this week where I said that 36% of our audience is female.
Mm.
Now, that's, we're a technology podcast. There are roughly 28%, I think, according to some surveys, percent women who take part in the technology industry. And that drops, unfortunately, when you get to the boardroom. So on one hand, we have more female listeners listening to our technology podcast than actually exist as a proportion in the technology industry.
Mm.
But at the same time, the averages for those who listen to podcasts are 48%. So 48% of podcast audiences globally are women. And I think it's really important that we try with this show to do far better than the industry average and aim for that 48%. So we put the question out on LinkedIn. How can we make this podcast friendlier to women? And one of the comments back was female co-hosts. Well, Amber, here you are. You've been on this show for how many years now?
Oh, my goodness. I was trying to work this out the other day. Three and a half years, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we can kind of say, yeah, we tick that box. But I wanted to throw it back to you as someone who's been on this show for a long time. What do you think we can do? You know, we've just had International Women's Day. What can we do to make this show more inclusive to a balanced gender audience? And, you know, why do you listen to the shows you listen to?
Oh, this. Firstly, Dave, I just want to say I loved the fact that you like put this out to LinkedIn as well. Like you said, because the stats that we have are not necessarily bad, but it's just a case of wanting to push that and get even better as well. So I love the kind of like the vulnerability in it, and also the fact that you're just like, right, you know, we're not perfect at this and we want to improve, and you know, how are we going to improve? So yeah, firstly, I just want to say I love that sort of aspect to this, kind of the question and everything, like say that you're sort of pushing forward for with this as well. I mean, the LinkedIn post had a really, had a great response. Like there was lots of really like, easy fixes in there, in the sense that like these are not big things, like really sort of small incremental changes. And I imagine like you will, you know, that sort of listener base, that female listener base will definitely go up. So I don't know, I mean, there was a lot around kind of like the way that guests, like female guests would interact with like a male host over a female host. I thought that was quite interesting, like a quite interesting point. And yeah, I suppose just having more like female voices kind of coming through on this podcast, you know, like say some really good stuff that was sort of put out on LinkedIn, but I would encourage those people to kind of come and speak to us and, you know, sort of have your sort of take on it as well, because, yeah, like say, I know there was a few people you sort of suggested to like come on the pod and sort of, you know, have that chat and stuff. So yeah, I mean, just my, I suppose, advice would be sort of, yeah, just take up on the offer or put your name into the hat, you know, throw yourself in it, because what, you know, we always want to see sort of more female leaders and have sort of full representation. So we're not going to get that unless sort of people do kind of, you know, volunteer themselves or sort of are quite sort of forthcoming with their time.
One of the ideas I loved was that we should maybe have female guests interviewers. So I would say to anyone listening, if you are a technologist and you happen to be a woman and you are comfortable with interviewing people, then maybe for a week we'll just pick three shows and we'll have a week where the show is taken over by guest female interviewers.
No, I also, like I said, I love that idea. I think it's I could really see the point around like the conversation would be very different and they might open up more.
Yeah.
And not to say that you're, you know, an intimidating character, Dave, by any means, but I just think it would
oh, terribly, yes, terribly, yeah.
Terrifying. But no, I just, yeah, I think that'll be just cool to experiment with it. Like I say, I think you'll get more sort of females that want to come onto the pod and have conversations and will be more willing to sort of share sort of different parts of their life as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, trial it. I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, we're all for feedback. We're all for kind of playing around with different formats with different styles. Like, you know, the one thing that I've always been acutely aware of is we've now been doing tech talks, folks, for nearly 9 years.
Gosh.
And you can't let it kind of do the same thing over and over again, otherwise it will be stale. So I like the idea of it being taken over by some guest co-hosts for a week or so and just mixing it up. So that would be awesome. If that appeals, then let us know.
Mm. No, it's quite refreshing, actually, isn't it? Like you say, just to... Yeah, you get the same results, you do the same sort of stuff. So yeah, I mean, hopefully, there'll be lots of people sort of willing to come in and have some chats with you.
Take over.
Yeah, exactly that. I didn't want to say it, Dave. I know you've got Precious, this is your baby, but yeah, definitely, like say, take over and who knows, you might be out of a job, yeah. Dave.
Ah, oh, who knows? Who
no,
knows?
Definitely not.
I will just say as well one thing, like I'm acutely aware that language sometimes can be, when you're talking about women and females, and someone tried to make that point on one of the posts actually, and I'm kind of using both interchangeably, and if I'm getting it wrong at times, I apologise, I'm trying to do it in the right way. But sometimes language can be tricky and getting the point across, but no offences meant. Right, it's Friday afternoon. What are you doing this weekend, Amber?
What am I doing? A lot of it's quite weather dependent, so I won't bore you with all of that, to be honest, because it's the UK.
The amount of times I say that we're so British.
I know, but a lot of it is quite weather dependent, to be fair. But on Sunday, I'm doing a nice long run. I've got a half marathon booked in with my mum. With my mum, yes, always,
yeah,
you knew. But she is my forever sort of running buddy. So yeah, I've got that. And then it's just a bit of a chilled one, actually. Nice. I've had a few crazy ones recently, so I'm quite happy to have a bit more of a calmer, more sort of, you know, zen kind of weekend.
Very nice. Well, look, thank you for joining me today. Ruben, thank you for being our guest. Everyone, thank you for listening. We'll be back on Monday. Tech Talks is hosted and edited by David Savage. It is produced by Nash Squared. And we have special thanks to Lemzy for supplying music to this show.